Greetings and welcome back to our series of study of the book of Shmuel Aleph, Sefer Shmuel. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and I'm pleased to be joining you at OU.org and www.etshalom.com as we study together the book of Shmuel, and today we are going to study Perek Daled, the fourth chapter. It's important to note the sequence subsequent to our study of the third chapter in which Shmuel was inaugurated. And suddenly prophecy has returned, and we have seen the bright side of things happening, as it were, in Shiloh. We're now going to read what is essentially a very dark chapter in our history at this point, a military loss, but something with far greater implications, and especially in light of what we know from the end of Perek Bet and from the middle of Perek Gimel in our studies. Vahidvar Shmuel l'chol Yisrael. Now, truth be told, that phrase really belongs to the end of the previous Perek, because as we'll see, Shmuel's name will not show up again until Perek Zion. Shmuel is out of the picture. And Vahidvar Shmuel l'chol Yisrael really doesn't connect in any way to the rest of this pasuk. It may be that it is there to set up an anticipation of Shmuel leading Am Yisrael, an anticipation which is dashed when we read the rest of the parak and we see him not there, and we see a very inappropriate attitude among the people, one that we would hope that if Shmuel were there, he would have corrected. Vayetze Yisrael likrat plishtim lamilchama, vayachanu ala evan ha'ezer uflishtim chanu va'afek. For the first time in Sefer Shmuel, we hear about an enemy that we learned of somewhat in Sefer Shoftim, and that is the plishtim. Important to note something about the Plishtim, although we'll talk about it much more in our study of Perek He, and that is that the Plishtim came from the Greek islands, from islands in the Mediterranean. In Egyptian documents, they're referred to as the Sea People, and that will play a significant role in both geography and some of their worship, as we'll see in Perek He. In any case, the Plishtim come out to greet, to meet Am Yisrael, and to go to war with them at a place called Evan HaEzer. And the Plishtim camped at Afek. Afek is a location several miles inland of modern Netanya. There is a dig there, and we know where Afek is. Evan HaEzer is not a place. It's a spot that Bnei Yisrael camped in that they called Evan HaEzer, as if to say, this is the place where God is going to help us. It, of course, did not play out that way. So the Plishtim set up their formation facing Israel. And the war spread out. So we see that the Plishtim had a military strategy or tactic of spreading out, not going in one narrow formation, but in spreading out from several directions. It's a tactic we will encounter later on in Perek Yud Daled, and it's a tactic that we're familiar with from back in Shoftim Perek Tetvav, which the students of the OU.org Nachan line studied only about a week or so ago, a little more than a week ago, when the Plishtim came to Salas Sif Salaitam to take Shimshon. Vaynagav Yisrael lifnei Plishtim, Bnei Yisrael lost. Vayakuvam racha basadeh ke'arba'at alafim ish. Roughly 4,000 men died in that day. That's a large loss. Now, there is no indication here whatsoever what the nature of this war is. And as a matter of fact, any time that we find a war with the Plishtim, you always have to ask that question. What's the purpose of this war? Is it territory? Is it military independence? Is there some great treasure that somebody's fighting for? Unclear, and here it's very unclear. Vayavoha am el hamachaneh. This is a common response. The elders came to the camp and said, why did God allow us to be destroyed in front of the Plishtim? And the response was, Nikha elenu mishilo et aron brit Adonai. Let us take the aron of the covenant of God from Shiloh, viyavo v'kirbeinu, and now we have to listen very carefully to the words, let it come into our midst, V'yoshienu mikaf oyvenu, and it will save us from the hands of our enemies. You could, if you want to be very charitable, read V'yavo v'kirbenu, meaning he will come into our midst, meaning he, Hashem, who is mentioned, Aron Brit Hashem, and he will save us from our enemies, but that's not the simplest read here. And it may be very upsetting, Nonetheless, the simplest way to read this text is that they are saying, let the Aron come into our midst, and let the Aron save us from our enemies. This, of course, is a terrible perversion of what we understand about the role of the Aron. Nonetheless, it's one that we will see quite clearly in a couple of days when we study Perek Zion, was really the attitude of the people. This is the full name of the Aron. Aron, the Ark of Brit Adonai, of the Covenant of God, Tzvaot, his name, Yoshev HaKruvim, the one who lives, who resides between the Kruvim. Now, Vasham Shnei Vnei Eli, Im Aron Brit Eli, who came with the Aron? Hophni Finchas, the two sons of Eli. And this should be already an indicator of how much the people really didn't get their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they're willing to bring the Aron out in the hopes that it's going to help them win the war, with no regard whatsoever to the moral or religious standards of the people who are carrying it. Here we have Hophni Finchas, who we know are reviled by God, that God wants to kill, and they're brought out to war, carrying the Aron, and the Aron now is playing a magical kind of role for the people, saying, once the Aron is here, it's going to save us. It doesn't matter the fact that the people carrying it are morally decrepit and depraved, and that they're people who've been affecting the Mishkan in a terrible way. That is of no accord, because the Aron is the magic thing that'll save us. That would seem to be the attitude. And so what happens? So when the Aron came in, they all gave a big scream, and the land was shaking because the Machane Israel was screaming. Now you got to imagine from the perspective of the Plishtim, you've just beaten Am Yisrael, 4,000 dead in one day. You assume that Am Yisrael is going to fold up their tents and leave or put on another attempt. Instead, they gather in their camp, and suddenly, a few hours later, they're all screaming with joy and excitement. That's a little scary to the Plishtim. They heard this loud sound. They said, what is this big sound? And then they knew, they somehow knew that the Aron had come into the camp. Now watch what they say about it. This should be read as if there's an extra yod. The plishtim were frightened. Their response was, God has come into the camp. In other words, they related to the Aron as if the Aron was a manifestation of the God of the Jews. Why? Because that's how the Jews related to it. Vayomru oy lanu, and they said, woe to us, midoy takazot et moshel shomet. Moshel shomet, which literally means yesterday and the day before, is a biblical idiom for any time in the past. We've never had this in the past. They've never had to face their Aron, their God. And so what was their reaction? Well, they could have had two reactions. One would be to run and get out of there. The other would be to strengthen themselves to go to war. So that's the path they took. Hidchazku v'yulan hashim. Sorry, oilanu. Woe to us, they're repeating that phrase. Mi atzilenu v'yad ha'elohim ha'adirim ha'ela. Who's going to save us from this mighty God? Elohim ha'elohim ha'makim et mitzrayim ha'chom ha'kaba midbar. This is the God, or these are the gods, that smote the Egyptians with all of those plagues. Bamidbar, unclear if Bamidbar refers to Egypt itself, or if it's an extension, it's saying the plagues there, and then the plagues that happened to other nations in the desert, or whether it's some sort of a conflation. But in any case, they are associating the Aron with the plagues of Egypt. What are we going to do? And the response is, Hitchazku v'yul anashim plishtim. Be strong and be men, plishtim. Pen ta'avdu la'ivrim kasher avdu lachem. Because the biggest concern they have is, and this is why they can't run away, that we will become enslaved to the Hivrim as they were enslaved to us. Meaning, we enslaved them, as we read in the time of Shimshon, and we did terrible things. They're going to get us back. So therefore, you better be men and fight back. So what happened? And we're not surprised to know that Am Yisrael lost again, and they were slaughtered. Everybody ran back to his own tent. That's not his tent in the army camp. That's back at home. There was a terrible smiting. 30,000 infantrymen. Remember, they were weeping and crying over 4,000. Now 30,000 men died the next day. Not only that, but Aron ha'Elohim nilkach. The Aron was taken captive, as it were. and Eli's two sons, Hofni and Finchas, died. Now, for us, the readers, we know what that means. That means this is now surefire confirmation, not only of the truth of the prophecy of the destruction of Beit Eli, but also of its immediacy and the fact that it's happening now. Vayarotz ish binyamin mihama'aracha. Vayavosh shilo, vayomahu, umadav kruim, vadama al rosho. Just one thing to point out before we begin Pasuk Yod Bet is this chapter, which is a story in and of itself. It's a story of the war, and it begins with the war and ends with the end of the, from the Israeli side, the end of the consequences of the war, is a chapter which is 22 psukim. And as is often the case in Pirkei Tanakh, not always, but often the case, a particular story in Tanakh is divided into two equal halves that speak to each other. Perhaps one half will be from one person's perspective, the other half will be from the other person's perspective. One half may be the creation of tension, the other half may be the resolution of that tension. Many, many examples of this that manifest themselves in different ways. In this parak is a great opportunity to illustrate that, because there's 22 psukim, which means halfway is 11, and the first 11 psukim are all about the war. They start with the going out to war, and by 11, the worst of the consequences of the war, the death of Bnei Eli and the taking of the Aron, following after the pasuk before that, of the terrible casualties of the day. The next 11 psukim are all going to take place in Shiloh. So the first 11 are in Afek, these 11 are in Shiloh. The first 11 take place in the battleground among the multitudes. These are going to take place among individuals and very select individuals. Vayarotz ish Binyamin mehamaracha, and the reader should ask, why do we care that the messenger here is from Binyamin? We don't know his name. We're never going to find out his name. Why do we care that he's from Binyamin? We'll find out. He runs from the front. Vayavo Shilo bayomahu. He came to Shilo on that day. Umadav kruim vadamal rosho. His army uniform, his clothes were torn, and he had dirt on his head. Both signs of mourning. Now, important note, when you go to Shiloh, and you go to Shiloh today, you go to the Tel Shiloh, to the dig at Shiloh, you see that the ancient town of Shiloh was on the south side. The Mishkan was on the north side of the town, and the entrance to the town was from the south. In other words, the Mishkan was in back of the town. So when you approach Shiloh from the south, you're going to first get to the town and only afterwards get to the Mishkan. That's important in reading this passage. So vayavo Shiloh bayomahu. So he came into Shiloh. Vayavo v'ine Eli yoshev al kisei yad derech mitzapeh. Eli, in the meantime, is waiting by the road, as it were. It's a lookout, which of course is strange because we already know that his eyesight is shot. Ke'ali bo charid aron Elohim. We already get a hint that something's not great with Eli, because Eli's own sons have gone out to war, and he knows the nevuah that his sons will die in one day as a surefire sign of the prophecy, and nonetheless, he's worried about the Aron. And the man came into the city, and the whole city cried out. So to understand this pasuk correctly, you have to understand the geography. The man came from the south into the city, and Eli is behind in the Mishkan. Vayishma Eli et kol atzaka. So Eli heard the cry from the city. Vayomer mekol amon hazeh. What is this cry? Vayish mihar ve'avo ve'agid le'Eli. So this man came and ran and told Eli what was going on. Ve'Eli ben tishimu shmona shana. An interjection. Eli was 98. Ve'nav kama v'lo yechol lirot. And his eyes were already gone. He couldn't see anymore. We'll find out more about his condition. Vayomer ha'ish el Eli. So a man came. Eli couldn't see him, so why is he by the road? He's waiting for someone to maybe see him and come and tell him what's going on. I came from the front and I ran away today from the front. Today, meaning I made it here in one day, I'm running away. And again, as we saw in Perek Gimel, in yesterday's podcast, that when Eli recognizes that somebody, a messenger, somebody feels nervous around him, he comforts him with the word B'ni. We saw it twice with Shmuel, once in the evening and once the next morning. Here he says to this messenger, he realizes the messenger's nervous, he's running away from the front, he says, what happened, my son? Vayanam Vaser Vayomer. And what did the Mavaser, the harbinger, the man bring the news, what did he, the herald, what did he say? Nas Yisrael Lifnei Flishtim. One, that Am Yisrael has run away from their enemies. That's terrible. A lot of people died. 34,000. And your two sons died. And the Aron was taken. Now this follows the same pattern that we saw in the last parak of 3 plus 1. He mentions three items, and then the Aron is last. Why is it 3 plus 1 and not just 4? You'll see. Vahi kaz kirot Aron ha'elohim. When he mentioned the Aron, by pol me'ala kiseh achoranit, a leaf fell backwards in his chair. Ba'ad yad ha'shar, right near the gate, v'tishaver mafrakto, and his neck broke. Vayamot, and he died. Now, in other words, what happened? He was shocked, he fell backwards, he broke his neck, and he died. Why? Ki zaken ha'ish, first of all, he was old, so his bones are brittle. V'chaved, he was very fat. V'ushafat Yisrael abayim shana, and this is like his little biopic, and he was a leader of Am Yisrael for 40 years, he's presented in the model of a shofet, but he was old, he was fat, and therefore when he fell over, the blow killed him. And then we get a little footnote to this story. V'chalato eshet Pinchas haralalat. His daughter-in-law, who the wife of Pinchas, whose husband has just died, her father-in-law has just died, she was pregnant, lalat is short for laletet. She's about to give birth. V'atishmata shmuel lalakoch aron alehim. She heard about the aron being taken. By the way, she also heard that her husband died. She heard about the aron being taken. Umetcha mi'avisha. Also, she heard that her father-in-law died and her husband died. V'atichva v'telet. And suddenly she went into birth pangs. Suddenly the contraction started. Now this, of course, should remind us of somebody that we all know in Sefer Bereishit, who gave birth in an untimely fashion. It seems to be that Rachel's giving birth in Bereishit Lamed Hei was also untimely, because they would not have planned to be on the road somewhere if they knew if she was giving birth then. So she seems to have been gone into labor early. Uch'eit muta. Now listen carefully and open up, if you have the opportunity, to Bereishit Lamed Hei, to those psukim around Yudalad, Tetvav, Tetzayin, the birth of Binyamin. And what do you see? Uch'eit muta, as she was dying, v'tadaberna nitzavot aleha al tiri, and the women standing around her, which we assume are some form of midwives, said to her, "Don't be afraid. Ki ven yaladet. It's a son. V'lo anta v'lo shata liba." And she did not answer, and she paid no attention to what they had to say. That's how she responded. The boy was born. She gave him a name, Ichavod. Fans of Washington Irving will certainly recognize that name, Ichavod Crane. And she called him Ichavod, no glory. Why? Galachavod Misrael, because she said the glory of Israel has gone into exile. Why? Elakach Aron Elohim v'chamel v'isha. Because of the taking of the Aron and the death of her father-in-law and her husband. So, Kavod is gone. It's a terrible day. This boy was born on a terrible day, and he was born because I was shocked into burying him early because of this terrible news. So, as if, and just to make sure that we're not confused as to why she called him Ichavod, she says, Vatomer Galah Chavod miYisrael, ki lekach Aron ha'Elohim. And she repeated and said, the glory is gone from Am Yisrael because the Aron has been taken. In other words, she stressed the point that she called the boy by this terrible name because the Aron had been taken. That was the one event that really shocked her. So going back to Pasuk Yod Zayin, you could see the four items that the Mevaser mentioned, death of the loss, and the casualties, and the death of Chofni Finchas, and the taking of the Aron. You see, they're not just four items. They're three items, and then there's the one punch. The three items, Eli was able to hear them without dying. The girl was able to hear them without necessarily going into sudden childbirth. What does this mean? Of course, we have tremendous reverence for the Aron. And of course, we have tremendous concern for the safety of the Aron. Whether it was smart to take the Aron out to war is a good question. And the fact that Shmuel is absent from this entire scene may tell us that it was not at all wise, and they didn't do it with his counsel. But nonetheless, there's a different question here. Is as much as we may revere the Aron, are we to revere the Aron to such an extent that the death of one's own children, the welfare of one's own children, the death of so many of our soldiers, the loss of a critical battle, These things pale in significance to the fate of an Aron, which is an inanimate thing. Yes, it is. It's theoretically the house of tremendous Kedusha and the focus of tremendous Kedusha, but only when we're doing things correctly. There's a famous Midrash that says that when Am Yisrael is not doing Ratzon Hashem, that the Kruvim turn themselves back to back. And indeed, we do get a sense that Am Yisrael's relationship to the Aron was ill-conceived and was perverted here, where they saw the Aron not as being a vehicle of worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but an object of worship itself. And that perhaps that was why they indeed lost the war. If one looks very carefully, and I will only make a slight allusion here, if one looks very carefully to the story of Rachel, one can see many parallels in the story, and there may indeed be a connection between Rachel's taking of the trafim, which, as per Yaakov's words, was what led to her death. Whoever took the trafim will not live. Perhaps an association between that and the inappropriate and idolatrous relationship that Bnei Israel had towards the Aron, and the death of this woman in her birth, who also gave an unpleasant name, Ichavod, just like Rachel gave Ben Oni, although in his case it was changed. And perhaps that's an explanation as to why we're told that the one bringing the news is an Ish Binyamin, as if to connect the two stories together. Anybody interested is welcome to look. I believe it's available on the virtual Beit Midrash. Rav Amnon Bazak, a number of years ago, wrote a wonderful article comparing the two stories and drawing some important conclusions from them. The article is in Megadim, in one of the issues of Megadim. And I believe that there is an English version, abridged version somewhere available. In any case, everyone should have a wonderful day, and we'll continue our study of Tanakh together. In the next podcast, we will study the very short but extremely impactful Parakeh, and we will discuss in Parakeh the notion of polemical texts in Tanakh and various forms of Kriyuchtiv and Tikkunei Sofrim and Iturei Sofrim.